Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
This is Mary Jo Bowser. I am in the studio with Lee Cantor and our guest Mandy Merkel this morning. It's Tuesday, June 2nd, and I'm back from the wedding of my baby girl.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
you. How'd it go? Any funny stories?
No, not too many funny stories. It didn't go perfectly, but it never does. And I love the guy she got married to. But I was just telling Mandy it's kind of the end of an era. She's my last child.
Your work is done.
Yeah, I know. It kind of makes
me sad. No, the fun time now for grandchildren.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Well, this morning, we have a special guest on our show. Her name is Mandy Merkel, and she is the, what are you, the owner, the boss lady?
Owner, founder
of Senior Resource Consulting. And as Ujiria celebrates the heroes of the senior population, I know you're one of them, Mandy, and I.
Thank you.
And I'm anxious to hear about your business. But where we usually start is we just ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that. You can probably tell I have a slight accent.
I was going to say, are you from Alabama?
I usually tell people Noonan. Then I met somebody from Noonan, and he said, you ain't from Noonan.
You ain't from Noonan. That was pretty good.
That was. I'm originally from Johannesburg, South Africa, and I came here, followed my husband, and got my master's as a speech pathologist at Emory University, worked at the VA, worked in some different rehab centers, including North Fulton, and then ended up working for a company that provided rehabilitation services to people in nursing home and assisted living. And a funny thing happened. I found that I loved working with older people. One of the big differences to me with cultures is how we treat our elders. And I grew up in a culture where your elder was esteemed. In South Africa, there were one nursing home / not really assisted living, but retirement community. But your parents or your grandparents only went there if nobody could take care of them anymore. I mean, my grandmother lived with us for a while until she became too ill to do that. And coming here, it was a big change for me to see so many people putting their parents in places as opposed to taking care of them. And the other big difference was how families are split. So, for example, the parents may live in Florida, the daughter lives here, something happens and she decides she needs to bring the parents over here. Or her parents live here, and this is really how I fell into the business, being a speech therapist. I'll give you an example. Typically, mom fell, broke her hip. Daughter lives somewhere else, I'm going to pick New York, comes down from New York, stays to help mom while she's going through the surgery for hip replacement and finding a rehab facility, but then she's got to go home. She has to go back to her family, her children. Well, who takes care of mom? And how does she know the appropriate place? That's right, you do.
Griswold Home Care.
Griswold Home Care.
But who does, though, when you don't know? When you don't know.
So literally, I fell into doing this. People would ask me all the time, say, what do I do with my mom? What do I do with my dad?
Because you were there. You were there already.
That's right.
So, yeah.
So now, who typically drives this? Is it the child of the senior, or does the senior drive this conversation?
Very rarely is it the senior. If it is the senior, it's usually a spouse.
Really?
But typically, it's the adult children.
The adult children. And do you find that, is it, I wouldn't think it's really lack of caring. I think it's more, it has to do with the, that people live in different places, like, you know,
a generation ago,
everybody lived nearby.
Right.
And now more and more people don't live nearby.
That's very true, but sadly, there is some lack of caring. I have some clients who live in Atlanta,
really?
But are very busy with their own lives and just choose. Well, let me rephrase it. You're right. It's not a lack of caring. It's not wanting to be a caregiver.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's priorities, just like you said in South Africa, and the culture esteemed older people. And it has not, especially in the last, what would you say, 50 years or the last two generations, it's become less of a priority, which is
well, we're very
so
youth
sad.
Obsessed. Yes. I mean, everything's about looking young, being young, staying young. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the reality is everybody ages.
I know.
And we have to figure out a way to age with dignity.
Absolutely.
And try and keep somebody as safe and independent as possible. And that's really what my business is all about.
So that's how you got into it. But so what is it? What can you do? And how did it transition from just helping and answering questions as a speech pathologist to having your own company?
Well, the company that I worked for ended up filing Chapter 11. It was a very large rehab company. There was a big shakeup with Medicare and reimbursement. And at the time, one of my colleagues in Florida and I decided this was a unique opportunity to try and do this. And long story short, it was 2000, the internet bubble, everything going on. We created what we thought was a fantastic website, but we were ahead of our time. It didn't work, but that's okay. My younger son keeps telling me that it's impossible to be a true entrepreneur without having at least one failure.
I like that.
I don't look at it as a failure. I look at it as a huge learning experience. But what I got from that was the need of families, again, to have somebody that they can depend on. One of the things I like to call myself is a professional daughter because I do a lot of things that a daughter would do, but without the emotional baggage, number one, and two, with the knowledge and experience that I have of both rehab, elder resources such as yourself with Griswold, home care companies, the difference between home care and home health, how to help people understand the differences between Medicare versus Medicaid, how do I pick a retirement facility, how do I pick a rehab facility. And there's just usually people wait until a crisis. It's interesting. I got a new client yesterday. I was speaking to the sons, and they were saying, well, how do we know when it's the right time for mom to move? And most people say this. And I always say most people wait until it's too late because they say, well, I don't want to move unless we have to. And I say, well, what does that mean when you have to? Does it mean that mom has to decline to the point where she can no longer take care of herself? You can do that, but if you do that, you run the risk of her not being able to enjoy all the benefits of being in a community. You can wait until she falls and breaks a hip. Well, and then you have to go through the whole hospitalization issue, rehab, and finding home care to come through and help take care of you. So what I like to do is go in and do a comprehensive assessment with a family, if they will let me do that, and come up with a couple of different options. Knowing that, for example, I hear this all the time. I made a promise to my mom or my dad, or my mom promised my dad they would never put him in a home. Well, homes have changed. The old nursing home, while some of those models still do exist, are not your only option anymore. Some of the retirement communities that are out there are truly beautiful, and I've seen people thrive. However, if you truly want to stay in your own home and you want to be independent, it's very important that you understand you need services to help you. You need home care companies that are willing and able and very capable at providing in-home care so you can still stay in your home, but your kids can have some peace of mind knowing that they're safe and their needs are taken care of.
And a lot of times you need to revamp the inside, like the bars and the ramps, just to make it safer.
That's right. So what I've done is try to surround myself with a team of resources, home care companies, people like you were talking about called aging-in-place specialists,
yes,
who will come in and help make recommendations about handicap bars in the bathroom or changing stairs or moving somebody downstairs, referrals to elder care attorneys, a variety of sources that I have.
Can you put a, I told you off air, Mandy, walking down the hall, that I have a family that right now there's three kids. And, you know, kids, they're adult children. They're not used to making decisions for their independent parents.
Right.
And all of a sudden, their parents aren't so independent
right.
anymore. And they also both have a little bit of dementia. And that's a hard thing for the kids to grasp and accept. And so they really do want to stay at home, but there's so much. I mean, there's so the dad was a veteran, So, you know, VA benefits can be gotten.
Right.
But anyway, they just don't even know where to start. And mom and dad are even pushing back on having someone in the house.
Oh, absolutely. So this is interesting. You brought up three very interesting points. I run two caregiver support groups as well. And one of the biggest things that I hear from, it's usually the adult kids, Lee, and they'll say, mom or dad are just so stubborn. Why will they not listen? They just, you know, it would be the best thing for them to move out of their home. It would be so much easier if they would leave. And I always say, do you really think we're going to be any different when we're older? Our parents are still our parents. They're clinging to their independence, whatever that may be.
Absolutely.
And we need to acknowledge and understand that. As a child, though, you're faced with a lot of different emotions. Number one, there's grief because your parents are not your parents like you knew them anymore. Number two is fear. What are you going to do if something happens to them? And three is, like you said, just being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. How do I even know where to start? How do I make the right decision?
But the big thing is, really, I've seen this, is to help them to realize that home care or home health or, you know, sharing your finances with your son so he can get VA benefits or something can actually help them be more independent.
I know, but
even assisted living can help them. And, you know, they, but anyway, that's a hard transition.
It's a very hard transition. And two things. Number one, again, they looking at it as, don't tell me what to do.
Right.
I'm still the
exactly.
parent.
Exactly.
And which is why it's very helpful to have somebody like me who is not in any way associated emotionally connected with,
and
with
not
them.
Associated with any of these.
And an expert in my field explains right. some of that. That's number one. Number two is sometimes with a degree of dementia, you're expecting them to understand rational thought, but they're not rational anymore. So the everything comes from emotion. And you can say till you're blue in the face, mom, dad, you need to do this. It doesn't make any difference.
Can you actually help them, like once you meet with a family and stuff, can you put a plan together? Like, can you give the kids some direction? Like, here's what you need to do first and second and third. And
thank you so much for asking that question. That's exactly what a good care manager does. I go in and do an assessment and then come up with a plan. And it's very interesting. Sorry, I've used that word a lot. That most people don't think about doing a plan. So when they meet me, for example, the elder is usually very suspicious, and she'll say to me, oh, I know why you're here. I did. I had one lady. She didn't want to meet me after a while. She was very socially polite, and then she said, you can go now. Because in her mind, she thought all I wanted to do was come in and tell her to move or give up her home. Not true at all. That may be an option, but that's not my goal. My goal is absolutely to come up with a plan. One of the things that I see a lot is if one parent or one of the spouse has dementia, everything is focused on the person that has dementia. Nobody thinks about the caregiver. And I always say to the kids, yes, we do need to make a plan for your mom or your dad, but think about it. What happens if something happens to the one who doesn't have dementia? Then you're in deep trouble. So you really have to have a plan. You don't need to act on it right away, but I can't tell you the peace of mind it brings you knowing that you have a plan and that when something does happen, and something will happen, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. I look at the plan and I say, okay, I've looked at X, Y, and Z options. I've interviewed some home care companies. They've interviewed my parents. They have told me they can provide these particular caregivers. This is how much it costs. I've met with an elder care attorney. We haven't set anything up, but I know I can if I need to.
We're investigating VA benefits.
Correct.
Possibly if they can stay in their home, a reverse mortgage is applicable. You know, if they really are suited to stay in their home. And if they're not, then maybe they can look at these other assisted living facilities.
Correct.
Or something.
That's
Gosh.
Right. One of the important things I like to say about myself and most of us care managers in the business is that I work for the client. I accept no referral fee or, I hate to use the word kickback, but any kind of, what's the word I'm looking
for? Like compensation.
Compensation.
You're just
you.
Looking to serve the client in the best way, and that could take different forms.
That's exactly right. So when I make a referral to somebody, it's because I truly believe that that is the best place for the person to go or the best resource, not because I'm getting something back.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Yeah.
So now, what is
of course, I'm sorry, Lee, but they do pay you. There's a fee. So how you make your money.
That's right. And I've learned over the years to be more, I used to be embarrassed to say I charge for my service. I think it comes as a therapist. No, but as a therapist, you kind of feel like you should just do this for some people. Now this is what I tell people. I say, I charge $120 an hour. It's the best $120 you'll ever spend, and let me tell you why. And if you don't feel like you've got value for your money, I'm more than happy to work with you, charge you whatever you think is fair, or not charge you. But this is what I do, and you're paying for my level of expertise. I only had one person who gave me a hard time in the beginning, and at the end was, you don't charge enough.
Wow.
Well, you can't help them unless they pay you. I mean, that's the bottom. There's only one of you. So what is the biggest misconception a family has when they're getting into this? Because like you said, it happens a lot of times more in a crisis than it does a pre-planned situation.
I think the biggest misconception is that people don't have options. They think they don't have options. So they get railroaded into something. I'll give you a perfect example. I have a client who has no family here. She has two sisters in Connecticut, and she's very ill. She needs dialysis, and she had a setback. She had a really bad infection, had to go into the hospital. And then the discharge plan at the hospital said, well, you have to move to this particular rehab facility that I don't really care for. Now, if I would have not have been there, she would have gone.
Right, because they don't question.
They don't know.
The doctor says, do this, and you're like, okay, let's go.
Well, it's not even the doctor. I have to say that things have changed so much. The doctor doesn't even know what's going on anymore.
Gosh.
As far as that goes.
Oh, don't even get me started.
They treat, well, but that's the whole point. See, and the other thing I like to call myself is the foreman of a house or the quarterback of the team.
Right. Absolutely.
Because everybody's got their own specific area of specialty, and nobody's bringing it all together.
Yes.
And nobody's communicating. There's not one central conduit of communication. Mm-hmm. So I can be the one, at which I was, and I went to the case manager and I said, this is unacceptable. And she said, well, you're not the daughter. And I said, no, you're right, I'm not. But the family has given me permission to act on her behalf. And we made sure that didn't happen. So things like that make me feel very proud of what I do.
So now in a case like that, you said that you charge per hour. How do you kind of keep track of the time? Because I would imagine there's a lot of time where you have to sit there and you're just waiting for something to happen. And then they might have a 5-minute phone call with you somewhere else.
I try and keep it as clean as possible. Whenever I deal with a lawyer, I say, I bill like a lawyer, but not really. So I bill in hour increments or half an hour increments. I do not charge for phone calls. I don't charge for emails. So I always say, don't feel like you're on the clock the minute you call me.
Mm-hmm.
It's direct patient time.
So now what does a typical engagement end up costing?
There's no such thing as a typical engagement. To answer your question, someone will call me up and say, all right, here's the situation. Again, somebody did called me yesterday. I've got these parents. They're living at home. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to come in, do an assessment, and make a plan. How long do you think that's going to take? And so I tell them, well, typically I'd like to meet with the family initially, maybe for half an hour to an hour, then go meet with the parents, come up with a care plan, and then from there you can take it or leave it. So usually around anywhere from 3 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little different than some of my competitors in that I don't have a set time or a set assessment fee. If it only takes me 3 hours, I'm only going to bill you three hours.
But so for approximately like $500, they can get a plan together.
Yes.
And then they can use you in an as-need basis from that point on, and they can get as involved as they'd like, or they can have you do some of the heavy lifting.
That's exactly right.
Also, I think it's important to point out that how long have you been doing this, Mandy?
I started my company 2001, but I've really been doing it for about 20, 25
okay,
years.
But 15 years. Okay, 15 mm-hmm. years. An hour of your time, when you have resources at hand and you've seen case after case and all different kinds of things, you can probably get done in an hour.
Absolutely.
What a family might, you know, spend days on. Like not even spend days, but spend.
No. But you're absolutely, you know, right. And this is why I talk about value for money.
Yeah.
Especially with some of the busy professionals that I deal
with.
Oh, my
goodness, yeah.
If I say to them, I'm more than happy to give. Here's an example, Lee. Someone will call me up and say they need to put their parent in a nursing home, but they don't want to pay. That's fine. I have no problem. Initial phone consultation. I don't charge. I probably give away way too much of my time. But I say to them, you can go to the Medicare website, medicare.gov. They have a little tab there called Find a Nursing Home, and you can come up with all 370 nursing homes in Georgia. Okay, well, does that really help you pick a nursing home?
No. I mean, you're saving them the learning curve. I mean, you've already vetted 95% of these, and you already know which are in the good list and which are in the okay list and which are in the unacceptable list, where me as a layperson couldn't tell one from the other.
That's right. And I know you'll find this hard to believe. Sometimes the website isn't always honest. The building is not as planned. You know, objects are closer than they appear. The other thing, too, though, is it's all about relationships. Because I've worked in rehab, because I'm in the industry, I know people. And it's a lot easier for me oftentimes to get a bed in a facility than if you would just have to call.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it works.
So now, can you just walk us through? I'm a child of an elderly parent, and I have a crisis, so I call you up. And you mentioned there's a free consultation. I guess you take my call and then you kind of assess the situation over the phone. Is that typically how it works?
That's typically how it works. You tell me exactly what's going on, what happened, and then we take it from there. One of the biggest things that I try and do in that initial phone call is make you feel better. Mm-hmm. That even if you don't hire me, there are other people like me or some resources that I can steer you to say, take a breath, calm down. Yes, it seems like a crisis, but I promise you we're going to get through this. And at the end of the call, they just always tell me how much better they feel.
Now, I would imagine that when they work with you, they're saying, I wish I would have known about your service sooner.
If I had a dime, you know, America, for every person that has said that to me, I wouldn't have to be sitting here doing this. Mm-hmm. Although I still would, because I love to talk about what I do. But you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, talking about what you do, is there just, you know, I told you out there, this is for you to tell people that are listening, other business professionals listen to this show, and hopefully some seniors too. What else do you want to tell us about your business? Is there a story of a family you helped or how to find, whatever you want to tell us?
Sure. Well, one thing I do want to add, two things really. Number one, I'm also a certified elder mediator. Very important. Aliyah, I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes kids don't always agree.
Yes, I would imagine that happens quite a bit.
And it's very helpful to have somebody come in and say, okay, we understand where you're coming from, you. Oftentimes it's related to money. Oftentimes it's related to why do you think as this daughter or son, you're entitled to make the decision about mom.
Right.
And all mom cares about is please just everybody get along. That's very important that we come up with something where the family feels, if not totally
heard and understood.
Well, and if not that, at least willing to go ahead with a plan, because it's not about them, it's about the safety of their mom. And it's really funny that because a lot of them don't understand that. They don't think that. They think they're fighting for mom's rights or...
Well, sometimes they're fighting when they were 12. You know, they're rehashing the same dynamic when they were children.
Right. A lot of times. Mom loved you best. There's a book called that, Mom Loved You Best. Or Who Gets the Yellow Plate. Sadly, what we're seeing, though, is a lot of kids who've moved... adult children who've moved back with their parents because of economic situations. And if we think the best thing is for mom to leave the home, well...
Now it affects them.
It affects them. And
right,
it's
they might have some own their own agenda.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So now, you mentioned veteran benefits. Do you help in that area as well, or you point them to a resource?
I point them to a resource. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of being able to say, you know what, I know a little bit about it, but not enough to really help you, so allow me to point you in the direction of someone who does. It's taken me a while to learn that the benefit of being able to say that I'm very proud of what I do, but I know that I can't know everything.
Right.
So I try and surround myself with the best resources out there.
I was going to say, your resource list is probably one of your most important things.
It is. It is. And to add to my resource, I now have somebody working with me named Kendall Cry, who I wish could have been here today, but she's home with sick family, who shares the same philosophy that I do about working with families and making sure that we treat them in the most dignified and appropriate way.
Now, part of this show, obviously we're based here in Atlanta, but it can be heard all over the world. If somebody has a question outside of the state of Georgia, are you equipped to help them in that, or do you primarily do your work here in Georgia?
Well, I'm primarily in Georgia because I know the facilities.
Right.
However, I have had a lot of out-of-state clients. I belong to an organization called, well, it's changing. It's going to be called Aging Life Specialist Association. It was the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers, NAPGCM.
Oh,
long title.
NAPGCM.
Okay. CareManager.org. And the nice thing about that is if you're a certified professional manager like me And it's hard to become that. You have to have certain educational and experiential requirements, which I think is great. I can look, go through the list and say, what state are you in, and find somebody like me
has the credentials.
Who has the credentials and the experience that I have.
So will you repeat that again, Mandy? What is that credential that certified?
Certified care manager.
Certified care manager, not geriatric care.
Well, the actual title is CMC, care manager certified.
Okay.
And yes, even though we do specialize in geriatrics, I do work with two, sadly, younger adults through a trust. And what we're seeing now is, as some people age, but if they have developmentally disabled children, somebody has to step in and help take care of them.
Right, right.
But it's primarily geriatrics. I love old people. They're so funny. And they just love to talk, and they want somebody to at least sit and listen to them.
It's very true.
The best part of it, I tell them, the best part of what I do is I'll always be younger than you. but don't laugh. In a society that's so youth-obsessed, I mean, I have some friends of mine who were in business with their kids and now being phased out because they're too old.
Right. No, that happens. And it's interesting dynamic. And it's good that you're around to help, because I know it's a difficult situation for a lot of people. What percentage of your clients have a kind of a strong relationship with each other and are making, you know, kind of collaborative decisions, as opposed to people that are kind of bickering?
I would say the majority. Mm-hmm. The ones that bicker, they usually bicker a little bit in the beginning. And there are some that you, this is funny. Sometimes I'll get a call and they'll say they're three siblings, but only two of us are involved. So they choose to just not involve the other sibling, or the other sibling just chooses not to, because it will create some kind of trouble within the, or strife within the family. But for the most part, children really do want the best for their parents, and it makes it so much easier if everybody's on the same page.
So you started with a story, and we love stories. You know, the story about if you stepping in with the social worker. Can you think of, and I know it's hard at the last minute to pull up a story. Tell us a story about, you know, how you saved the day. How you saved the day for a family.
Your superhero story.
That's very sweet. Well, you know, everybody has a different definition of a superhero. But I had another one, and this is probably one of the first cases that I ever had, a father and a son. And the son lived at home with his father. And as the father aged, the son just didn't know what to do. He didn't know how. Should he keep him at home? Should he move him to a facility? He tried some different things on his own, but he kept coming back to me. Because it's an interesting thing. So you think, I really should be doing this. Why am I paying somebody to do something that as a child I should be able to do for my parent? But he realized that he just couldn't do it on his own. And truly, I became like a daughter to the father, and it was really interesting. As the father transitioned and became iller, he wanted to clean up some loose ends in his life. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that he had a daughter from a girlfriend way back. This was way back during the war, and he had to leave. And the son didn't know. So the father said to me, would you help me write a letter to this woman? And I used to go there every week and write these letters. And she wrote back, and they reconnected and told the son. And it was this wonderful story. And when the father actually passed away, the son had something else to hold on to.
Because
he
had a sister.
He felt that he would have totally alone in the world, but yes, he had a sister.
Wow.
Wow, what a great story.
Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like that. My husband always says to me, I don't know how you do what you do. It's so depressing. And I say, I don't find it depressing. I find it very uplifting. Is it sad to see people at the end of their lives? Yes.
Right, sure.
I mean, and none of us really wants to do that. That you'll have me back another time, because I've got a great idea for what I want us baby boomers to do as we get older. But it's a reality of life. And if you can share joy and find humor, and I tease them all the time. Every time I go in an assisted living, if they're playing bingo, I'll always walk past and go, bingo! And the activity person, don't do that. But the people love it. They'll crack up.
Well, I told you this would go fast, and it has. But before we end, I want to make sure that anybody listening knows how to get a hold of you, your website, your phone number, whatever.
Please.
Both.
The name of my company is Senior Resource Consulting. If you just Google Mandy Merkel, and I will come up.
Or Senior Resource Consulting.com.
404-786-7789. I will call you back that same day. Me or Kendall?
Mandy Merkel. That's spelled M-E-R-K-E-L.
That's correct. Like the Chancellor of Germany.
Very good. Senior Resource Consulting. Mandy, thank you so much for
being
here.
Thank you so much for having me. You can probably tell I can talk for hours about
Well, and you know what? We will have you back. And if there's anything just like that idea, we'll connect and put something on the calendar.
Great.
Let me see if I can remember this little saying that we have, because it really is neat as we end. We usually say, if the young people of this nation are our greatest national resource, then it's the older folks that are our greatest national treasure.
Totally. I totally agree.
Thank you so much for being
here,
Mandy.
Thank you for having me.
And God bless.
You too. Thank you, Lee.
All right.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.